Halashing for halas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Good morning, everybody. This is Adrian Bugatti on High FM, the Essen Fressen show, where it's all about the food. And Pesach is finally over. Everybody, the build up to Pesach drives everybody mad. And for me, the packing up is actually worse. And now it's time for post-Pesach recovery. So the first thing I wanted to do to recover from Pesach is to thank the people who helped us get through Pesach. So there's some special ladies out there who have set up the most amazing WhatsApp groups, Telegram groups, and Facebook pages to help us all make Pesach a little less stressful. So that is Tahila, Lindy, and Hillary, and then Farrellyn for Facebook. So thank you, ladies. Made my life a lot easier, even though I don't really comment or participate. Just being able to read them has been fantastic. The recipes and the shopping tips and where to find stuff, it's been wonderful. And then to thank the stores and the supermarkets and the manufacturers who had all the products available. And I mean, there were a lot available, from overseas, from local, everybody. We really are blessed here, for keeping kosher. Pesach, anyway. Now, as I said, it's Pesach recovery time. And for a lot of people, me included, it's also a weight gain. Unfortunately, Pesach matzah doesn't fill you, so we have a lot more than we would have if we had a slice of bread. And unless you're banting, you can't really avoid, you know, your matzah, or you don't avoid your matzah, let's put it this way. Matzah meal is in everything, so all the cakes and the biscuits and everything we've eaten and all our food, and of course the soup and knedlach, can't forget those. So now I decided it's time for me to get rid of this weight. The problem is it's winter. Winter is coming up, and I don't do well in the cold. I am always hungry in winter. I don't know about everybody else, but I am. I'm always hungry in winter, and I crave the carbs, which is quite normal because carbohydrates are actually what gives us our energy to get through a day. So you've got to be careful, you know, how you do it. And it's time I re-looked at my meal planning and, you know, because that gets put on hold for Pesach. Yes, I plan my Pesach meals out the same as I do the rest of the year, but the eating habits sort of fall away quite a lot, and getting back into it is a little bit more difficult, because I think it starts at least a week before Pesach that you lose your habits, is because there's nothing to eat in the house. You've had to get rid of all your breads and stuff for those who need to start preparing at least 3-4 days in advance. And you tend to be so busy with Pesach, you forget about your normal meals. That's how I found it anyway. So one of the things that you need to remember with winter is, because we crave carbs, we need to be careful with what carbs we're eating. One of the best tips that people give, and it's one of the easier ones to follow, I suppose, would be to eat spicy. Spicy food increases your metabolism, so you do burn your fat off quicker, but it does mean you're maybe a little hungry. And what happens if you don't like spicy food? It's time for an ad break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to the Essen Fressen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, welcome back to Essen Fressen Show, where it's all about the food. I'm Adrian Bugatti, and we're talking about recovering from Pesach, moving into winter. And I was just saying that, you know, winter, we crave the carbs to keep us warm. So how do we do this and then not gain weight? Because most people do gain weight in winter, specifically because they want the pastas and the potatoes and all the heavy starchy foods that give us our energy and keep us warm in winter. So one of the first things is soups. Soups, you know, you can put them on the stove in the morning and they can cook the whole day. So they're always hot. Most people have microwaves, but if you don't want to use the microwave, keeping it in a slow cooker. I mean, soup in a slow cooker is just beautiful. And, you know, to choose your soups, like a butternut soup. Butternut is still a carbohydrate, but it's a low carb. Add some curry to it to give it that spice, that kick that warms you up on the inside as well. And then it increases your metabolism so that the butternut you ate didn't go to your hips. Another thing is to look at the type of starch you're going to have. So pastas are not a bad thing. Pasta on its own is great. It's what you add to your pasta that's going to make the difference. So having rich cream sauces, while delicious, are not the most healthy. You know, you can make healthy options, but it's always a good idea to look at your pastas, not have a heavy fat or heavy cream. I know a lot of people prefer the cream and they like their fat and they go low sugar. Low sugar is always good. I'm still quite old fashioned and my nursing training won't allow me to think of high fat foods. So I struggle with that. But things like sweet potatoes instead of normal potatoes, butternut is another one. There's some great butternut recipes out there. Gem squash is beautiful. It makes a nice thick soup. It also makes a nice filling inside, say, mincemeat, where it can't be seen. And baby potatoes, new baby potatoes are also low, they're a low GI carb, which means they keep you full for longer. They keep your sugars level and they give you the energy you need as well. Another thing is stews. I love stews, curries, anything that I can make in my slow cooker. My slow cooker is not just for Shabbos. It's pretty much in winter as often as I can use it. You know, I'm happy to put it on in the morning. You come back 6 hours later and your meal is cooked. Beautiful. Everything in one pot, less washing up if you're the one doing the washing up. So it also allows you to save money because you can buy the cheap cuts of meats, and cook them beautifully. Whereas if you're going to make a stew on a stove and you're only going to do it in like 2 hours, sometimes the tougher cuts of meat don't get soft enough and everybody complains that the kosher meat is so tough and so dry and everything. It's all about the preparation. And that's why I like the slow cooker the best for these kind of things. Because it gives me that nice soft, stew. And then you can cook everything all at once. Once again, like I said, the less pots to make a mess of, the better. Now, it's the beginning of the month and it's time to start thinking about stocking your cupboards. They're fairly empty now after Pesach, unless you went and did your emotional shopping after Pesach, which I think it's a reactional thing, is to go shopping the day after Pesach and fill up your cupboards. This year I was very careful and I did not go to the shops at all. I sent somebody else with a strict list and cash so that they couldn't buy extras, no impulse buying at all, and that helps. Now, with winter, you want to plan your meals a little more carefully, and with me wanting to go on a bit of a healthier diet, I needed to look at how to do this. So now my meal planning is not just supper. I am planning breakfast, lunch, and supper, and my mid-morning and mid-afternoon snacks, you know, so that I've got my whole day covered and I don't have to think about it. Most people complain about dieting because it gets boring. And also lack of time to prepare those healthy breakfasts that we're supposed to do. So I found some recipes that you can plan ahead and you can make in bulk. For me, I did have to double this recipe because it only makes six servings, which is one breakfast in my family, if that. But it's easy to make. My vegetables and stuff that go into this morning breakfast are already prepped for. So I made it today was the first day being Tuesday and the next one will be Thursday. So it's not having to think of a new thing every single day. It's 1 week where you can repeat. So yesterday I had, say, cereal. I think I had eggs yesterday, scrambled eggs. I had eggs again today, but that's because I like them. So you have cereal on Monday, the eggs on Tuesday, cereal again on Wednesday, your same eggs on, you know, Thursday, and then cereal on Friday. So this recipe is called a muffin cup veggie omelette, and it comes off a website called Lose Weight While Eating. Okay, her name is Audrey Johns. And she actually, her story is fascinating. She's an American blogger and she needed to lose weight but couldn't actually diet because she has some serious health issues. So this is, and her meals, are quite filling and she likes them spicy. So I often cut down on my spice. This is one of the few recipes that aren't spicy while you cook. However, she does tell you to add hot sauce to the eggs, when you eat them. So I did a little bit. I put a single drop of Tabasco onto my egg this morning. So here is the recipe. Like I said, it's 6 servings, which is 2 little muffin cup omelets per person. It takes about 35 minutes in total, 15 minutes prep, and about 20 minutes to cook. You'll need olive oil spray. You'll need 1/2 cup of chopped red bell peppers. I think you can use any peppers. I must admit the red ones and the yellow ones are sweeter for me, and I'm not a great fan of the green one. Now, 1/2 cup turns out to be about 1/2 bell pepper, a fairly large one. You want 1/4 cup of chopped onion, which is 1/2 medium-sized onion, 1/2 cup of chopped white mushrooms. That's also about 1/2 punnet. 1/4 cup of chopped spinach. I use the baby spinach. She doesn't say which kind we need to, you use. Usually she specifies. So this one obviously means we can have the baby spinach instead of those big leaves, which I really don't like the taste. 5 fresh basil leaves chopped. So I have my basil growing, and thank goodness it's one of the few plants that is growing in my home. But otherwise, you could use 1/2 teaspoon of dried basil if you don't have fresh basil leaves. She wants 4 large eggs and 3 large egg whites. Now, everybody's going to say, like, what do you do with the egg yolks from the egg whites? It's a bit of a waste of your eggs. I make mayonnaise from that. It's a delicious mayonnaise. It's really quick and easy, and you can do it with a stick blender. She wants 1 pinch of kosher salt, 1 pinch of freshly ground black pepper, and 1/2 cup of crumbled goat cheese. I used feta instead, and it works. It tasted delicious. You preheat your oven to 180. You spray your muffin pan with oil, and then you start chopping your veggies. Now, I did it all in one bowl, but what you can do is, as you do each vegetable, you just portion it out into your little muffin tray at the bottom. I just prefer to have it properly mixed so that everybody gets the same, and it worked out nicely that way. Then in a large bowl, you're going to whisk together your egg white, your salt and pepper. And whisk it quite well, because you want some fluffiness to it because of the egg whites. It's not going to rise or stiffen or anything because it's a full egg, but you want it a little bit more bulky. And then you pour in about 2 tablespoons of egg mixture into each muffin cup. Top everything with your crumbled cheese, whether you're using the goat's cheese or the feta, or even cheddar cheese, which would taste amazing as well. And then you bake the omelets for 20 minutes in the oven. Let them rest for about 5 minutes before you pop them out. If you take them out while they're still hot, they do tend to fall apart. So that's, the only reason to rest them. Okay, but the other thing you can do is you can add your spices. Like I said, she said hot sauce for hers, which I did this morning, and it was stunning. We're going to go take a break now, and when we come back, we carry on talking about getting ready for winter and recovering from Pesach.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, welcome back to Essen Fresen Show, where it's all about the food. I'm Adrian Bugatti, and we're talking about recovering from Pesach and moving into winter, preparing for winter in a way that won't make us gain weight because of all the foods we need to keep us warm during this cold time. I've spoken before now, I was talking about the starches and choosing a healthier starch option than a plain potato. So your sweet potato, baby potato, or butternuts. Those are really good bases for your starch on your meal dishes. And also pastas, but durum wheat pasta is a much healthier option. It helps you also with keep your sugars level, keep you warm, and keep you full. But there's another thing that'll help with this. And for those who've listened in, my regular guest is often Nicole Wollman-Sachs, and she's the dietitian. And we often discuss things like legumes, pulses, beans, peas, all those things for those who don't know. And those are huge for winter. First of all, they're cost effective. Amazing stews. I went recently with Nicole. We went to the World Pulse Day, and there they had a black bean brownie, which I am going to attempt this year. I've got my black beans sitting in my cupboard. I just have to take them out and grind them up. So the pulses and things, besides being filling and keeping your sugars level, are a lot cheaper. They don't take as much preparation as people assume. You don't always have to soak them overnight. It does help. You know, that's right. But they are huge, amazing for energy, to keep your sugar level stable. They're full of vitamins and they supply a lot of warmth. And there's an amazing variety of beans out there, and an amazing variety of things you can make with beans, your stews. Quite a good favorite in my house is black bean burgers. Like I said, the first time I served those, nobody knew they were black beans. It was just a burger. So there is a lot of stuff. Adding them to soups, especially like a minestrone soup, uses beans a lot. And minestrone soups are amazing because you've got your little bit of pasta in it. It's got all your vegetables. And really, you don't have to follow a recipe for a minestrone soup. Your basics are your vegetables, your tomato, your pasta. To me, minestrone, the best part about it is it's what I call a kitchen sink recipe. It's going through your kitchen, your fridge, your kitchen cupboards, and seeing what you can stick into the soup. So your vegetables that you can't serve them as a vegetable because they're slightly limp or a little, they're not good enough to serve as vegetable, but they're not ready to be thrown out. And those are perfect additions for soups. So patty pans, your tomatoes, your carrots. I love sticking butternut in soups and potatoes in soup. But if you're going to do that, don't put in your pasta. You can also put in bones to make the soup a rich protein soup. You don't have to have actual meat in it. So it's an amazing versatile soup to use for winter. And that's all I'm going to talk about for today on winter preparation. Next week we'll have a look. I want to add another recipe that I absolutely love. I don't drink a lot of coffee. I'm not a big coffee drinker. I don't go buy coffee because I just feel 40 rand for a cup of coffee is too much. But on this, lose weight by eating on Audrey John's website, I found an amazing almond latte and it was delicious. So she uses a cup of normal coffee. She says brewed coffee. I don't have brewed coffee. I've got instant coffee. I don't have a coffee maker or anything like that at home. One cup of almond milk, or you can use the milk of your choice. So that makes things a lot easier because almond milk is expensive and not everybody likes it. And to buy a whole liter just for one cup, unless you're making it for more than one person, isn't necessary. And this recipe makes for two cups. So it's a cup of coffee, a cup of almond milk or any milk of your choice, half a teaspoon of vanilla essence, half a teaspoon of almond essence. Now she very specifically says here, 2 teaspoons of sugar or raw sugar, but not sweetener. Her reasoning was that sweetener helps you store sugars and helps you store fats. So it's actually not such a great thing to add to this. Pretty easy to make. You heat the milk, you whisk it by hand to create a foam, and I'll tell you why by hand. And then you remove it from the heat. You stir in your little vanilla and almond and coffee, and the entire cup is 47 calories. That's very low, and it's delicious. Now she says the reason that she wants you to stir it, to whisk by hand, is to burn the calories that you are getting from the sugar that you're using, which I thought was quite a cute little thing to say. So you whisk it up by hand till it's nice and frothy. And there is your latte made at home, cost you a quarter of what it would at the shop, and it's a nice, healthy drink to have in the cold. And like I said, it makes two. So you can make one, put the other one in a flask, and have it later. Now, here's something I know nobody's going to like about me. It is 5 weeks to Shavuot. It's time to start thinking about our next chag. I know nobody wants to. But it's the truth. So planning is an important thing. As you know, for me, meal planning is where I go to. It's my happy place, knowing what's coming up ahead. Now, everybody knows the story of Shavuot. They know that it's the story of Ruth, and we know that it's Bikurim. It's time for the kids to bring their fruit baskets to shul, and it's the festival. It's called a harvest festival. It's the giving of the Torah. It's the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. There's a whole lot of names that are accompanying Shavuot. It's not just known by one name. But I wanted to look into where it came that we have to have dairy. Where does this thing come that dairy is what you have on Shavuot? There's got to be a reason. So I went looking and I found a few reasons of why we have dairy for Shavuot. It's not just an excuse to have the cheesecake. It's not an excuse to have your cheesecake, competitions. There's a reason for cheesecake there as well. In fact, one source I found it called it the Cheesecake Festival. They didn't even call it Shavuot, which was quite interesting. So cheesecake has taken over Shavuot. So here's why dairy. The giving of the Torah is when we are told about the laws of how to slaughter kosher animals, which animals are kosher, and how to prepare our meat. When it was given out that this is the rules, nobody had kosher pots and pans, because in Egypt, you slaughtered your animal and you cooked it. You put your cow's milk into the pot, the same pot. There was no kashrut law as such. So what happened is everything needed to be made kosher. The giving of Shavuot was, the giving of the Torah was on Shabbos. So you couldn't shecht anything, so there was no meat to be killed, and you couldn't kasher your pots. So what did the ladies do? They made do. They made their cheese, their butter, and their milk. It became a dairy meal. And that was the one reason I found. The second reason I found was that the Torah, when we talk about Torah, it's like having milk under your tongue. So honey and milk under your tongue. Milk is also a life-sustaining product, the same as water. But for newborn babies, mother's milk is what gives us life. It keeps us alive. So that's where another reason for using dairy. It is likened to the Torah, the words of Torah, or honey and milk under your tongue, and that it sustains babies' lives. Then another reason, number three, is the numerical value for the Hebrew word for milk, which is chalav, and that is 40. Now, the number 40 is three times at least in this, in Shavuot. The first one is the 40 days that Moshe spent receiving the Torah. So that's your first 40. Then there were 40 days asking for forgiveness because of the sin of the golden lamb. And then there was another 40 days just bringing down the new tablets. Okay, so there's your 40s all in, and that's why we eat dairy on, we prefer dairy on Shavuot. Then I found something else. There is another tradition, and this is to serve both a meat and a milk course at the meal. But there is a different way to do it. I saw two places. One where you sit, say, it's the night of Shavuot and you're having your meal. You start off with your challah, you have a milk meal, or say a milk soup or whatever it is, and then you bench, you clear the table, and then you bring out a new challah, and you bring out your meat meal, because what is yontif without meat? And that's where it came from. It is a different tradition. I've never heard of it. I must admit this was the first one in 30 years of doing Shavuot. This was the first time I heard that you had two meals at once. I normally do like a meat meal for the evenings and a milk meal for the lunch, partly because I live with meat eaters, very, very big meat eaters. So milk meals are not really, I have to think hard to fill them and I have to make more. Because they'll go back for helpings at least 3-4 times. So that is some of the reasons why we have dairy over Shavuot and why it's become known as a festival for dairy. It's not a rule. It is a custom that we have all taken on for ourselves. So if you don't do dairy or if you're lactose intolerant, then it's fine. You don't have milk. It's not that, you know, it's not a terrible thing. Now, I wanted to talk about cheesecake and why it became synonymous with Shavuot. Cheesecake. I mean, we normally associate milk meals as an everyday meal, boring, ordinary, you know, mac and cheese, as much as everybody loves it. It's an everyday meal. Whereas when we're serving meat, it's usually associated with a special meal, with a celebration. It's slightly more expensive. You know, those are the reasons for meat. But when you think of what goes into a cheesecake is expensive. It doesn't matter whether you're making it yourself or you're buying the 400 Rand cheesecakes from the stores. It is a luxury. It is an expense. And I think that's what makes it so special for Shavuot. It's usually served at functions. It's not an everyday kind of, you know, dessert. Cheesecake is expensive and it's a speciality. And I think that's kind of why it's become known as the Cheesecake Festival, is to make people, you know, enjoy the dairy instead of your everyday humdrum lasagnas and milk, you know, mac and cheeses and toasted cheese or whatever you're going to serve. So I really like the cheesecake. And I'm not a cheesecake fan, I must admit. However, on Shavuot, I do like to try my cheesecakes. I don't often make them because I'm not a dessert person. So that's the important thing. So we're looking forward to coming up with some nice recipes, hopefully for cheesecakes and hopefully for your dairy meals. Things that are nice, easy meals to make, filling, not too expensive, and fun. Yantav should always be about fun and family. So you want to make meals that you know can keep, that everybody's going to enjoy. And that's, you know, Shavuot. Shavuot also falls in winter, so you want it to be warm and filling. So therefore, like I said, I do the lasagnas if I'm going to serve the lunches. A nice hot lasagna, tuna lasagna, vegetable lasagna, topped with lots and lots of cheese. Always delicious. But what do you do if you're lactose intolerant and it's Shavuot? How do you do the cheese? Well, I've learned a few things recently that I didn't know before. The lactose, which I did know, is the sugar found in cheese. I've always known that. It was part of my training. That's it. But if you look carefully at some of the cheeses on the back, now you've got to look carefully. It's not on a lot of the smaller companies. They don't put the energy and the kilojoule calorie counters on the back of it. Certain cheeses actually have no lactose in them. And how do you find that out? By looking at the cheese on the back, it'll say sugar from glycemic index, or glycemic index, sugar from the source. And if it's got sugar in cheese, you know it has lactose. So having a look at a cheese that has no grams of sugar or lactose in it makes it lactose-free cheese. Now, most lactose-free people can manage to have some goat's cheese. Feta cheese is actually lactose-free as well, and so is certain cheddars. Obviously, depending on how they're made, processed cheese is out of the question. All processed cheese is sugar. It's more like rubber, but it's got a lot of sugar in it. So when you're stumped, I have found that you are able to do that. But I do remember a while ago at one of my daughter's bat mitzvahs, we had a few people who were lactose intolerant. I went and I made a lactose-free parve cheesecake. So no dairy at all. And it was quite easy. It was as expensive as a normal cheesecake, so there was no difference in the prices. It did make a little less than their cheesecake, but it was still there, and it was only a certain amount of people got it as part of their thing. And that was, you can buy them. I've seen them around a lot. I've seen them in general stores as well. And that is this tofuti-like cream cheese. So tofuti is a tofu-based or soybean-based cheese, and their cheeses are amazing. The cream cheese is fantastic. I've actually used it once over Purim inside my burger, where you could cut into your burger and the cheese oozed out. So it really does taste like cheese. And we used that to make sour cream. They've got sour cream cheese. They've got cream cheese. And it was perfect. Ginger biscuits for the base. You know, your fake cheese to make your cheesecake filling. And it was wonderful. So there's no shortage of food for you to have over Shavuot if you are lactose intolerant. One of the things I'm definitely looking into, although I'm not very good at doing this, is blintzes, is to make lactose-free blintzes. Because, like I said, I now have family members who cannot have dairy. Almond stuff, the almond milks are great as well as a substitute for creams. Your Oli Whips, just because you're using Oli Whip doesn't mean your meal has to be meat. In fact, it doesn't have to be milk either. It can be a dairy-free, meat-free meal. You know, that makes a huge difference as well. There's lots of desserts to have to make it a festive meal. They can look like dairy, but not be dairy. So I hope that gives you a few ideas for Shavuot. And then talking of dairy, and talking of vegan and non-vegetarian, you know, people, you can make beautiful like cream sauces actually out of beans. I've seen them do like a mayonnaise type topping, eggplant mayonnaise, all of those things. It's you've got to be a little bit more careful. So yes, one of the things you've got to be careful, depending if you are lactose intolerant or allergic to dairy, there is an issue. Casein is one of the ingredients in some of the cheeses, and that is why if you're not a great cheese person, or if you don't know your allergy levels, it is important that you be very careful, because the casein in your cheese can cause problems too. It's not saying that everybody who's lactose intolerant can eat cheese that has no lactose in it. So take that with caution. It's an important thing to remember. And then another thing to remember about the cheese is that certain cheeses have very strong flavors, and you don't want to overpower your meal. So choose your cheeses carefully. If in case you have white cheddar, yellow cheddar, mature cheddar, all have different flavors. We're going to take an ad break, and after that, we'll be back.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, welcome back to the Essen Fresen Show. This is Adrian Bugatti. And so far we've been talking about recovering from Pesach, getting ready for winter, and Shavuot, which is in 5 weeks' time. Things that you need to remember when changing the way you eat and changing your diet is a nutritionist or a dietitian is always a huge help. It's somebody you should see when you are going onto a diet for very specific reasons. If you know how to plan your meals, if you know your foods really well, if you've had some kind of nutrition training, then go ahead, do it yourself. But if you have medical issues, like diabetes especially, and anything like thyroid diseases, any metabolism diseases, it is important that you see a dietitian or a nutritionist before you change the way you eat, because the foods you eat are going to affect your health. And it is important to know what you are allowed and what you are not allowed. The websites, the internet is full of recipes and suggestions for diets and losing weight and all these kind of things. But everything must be done with caution, and everything must be done with a knowledge base. And your dietitian and your nutritionists are the people who have the knowledge base. So be careful with your websites. Like I said, this one that I got my muffin recipe from and my almond latte recipe from, she has health issues, couldn't find anything that suited her way of life. So she went on some training and has now learned what she can and can't eat. So when you're looking at her meals, a lot of her stuff has got a lot of hot, spicy foods in it. It's got hot sauce in it, almost everything. And that's an important thing to think about if you've got reflux, if you've got a you know, an ulcer or anything like that, you cannot have the spicy foods. So please be very careful when going on a diet, when changing your eating plans, to do it with some guidance if you've not, and to not try and binge diet. They are probably amongst the most dangerous diets to go on. You lose your weight very, very, very quickly. Body can't keep up, and it can make you quite sick. Dieting should not be about quick weight loss. Dieting should actually have, I don't know, there must be another way to term it. It's a change of lifestyle and a change of eating lifestyle. That would be the most important thing. So this is Adrian from Ace and Freshen Show, and I'd like to thank everybody for joining me, and see you, speak to you again in 2 weeks' time.